first of all, how did you decide to join the chamber?
I'm moved from Phoenix, Arizona, and Phoenix had a very active chamber. And so when I first came here, one of the first things that I did, I was the first priority I asked the church here or asked the school, are you all part of the chamber? And they weren't. And I said, well, that's a big mistake. Because I just knew that working in the Phoenix area, the Chamber of Commerce was very active in the community for education, business, nonprofit sector, variety of different sectors. So I said that that's something we had to do. So we joined the Chamber. Brenda Williams was our account agent, and I remember calling Brenda. She called me back, and I said, we need to sign up to be a member. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, we've been members probably our second year. Yeah, so.
Joining the chamber is one step, but you didn't just write a check to the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Yeah.
So what does that look like for you? If you're going to be a part of the Chamber of Commerce, what does that mean?
Well, for me, I went to every mini chambers areas meeting. So you have the Northern chapter, you have the East chapter. I went to almost all those chapters meetings and got to know different people. And then finally it got to the point to, hey, Todd, how you doing? You're back again. How's the school going? You know, I think those sort of really opened up the door to people asking how things are going. And if we can help you, Todd, let us know. I think that when it came down to, you know, for example, I use Data Tech again as an example. Kurt and his company, I mean, they were a sponsor last year. They came on in golf. So I think that I see it as not just going and writing a check and that's it. Really, I want to create a network of people who I can call upon if I need help with something. And like with iTech and our printing, I mean, right now they're doing a lot of our mass printing. Mm-hmm. And I met Emily and them through the Chamber of Commerce. You know, so for us, it was more, you know, being able to provide those resources that would help me with the business aspect and as well as networking. You know, so for me, I think there's an event going on this week. I think it's Thursday evening is a networking event that I'll be going to. And that's just, you know, how I kind of go. Schools that are part of the chamber. I don't think any other schools really part of it, but I thought it was something that we really should be a part of because I thought there was a lot of great opportunities. Matter of fact, we have a company called iTech that was part of the chamber, now does all our printing for us. You know, Emily and them do a phenomenal job, so we've had a huge, really a lot. They're one of many companies that we work with, but I thought it was a great opportunity for us.
Sure.
Really get our name out there.
You want to close it?
Yeah, you can close it. Okay. Close it.
So I was thinking that I'm aware of two different areas from our previous conversations that may be really great areas, and certainly open to talking about more of them.
Sure.
But specifically, the two areas that I am aware of for you have to do with, you had mentioned to me, making contacts in the chamber that were valuable for you.
Yes, correct.
Because I think what you told me originally was you were targeted to try and get some great sales, you know, bring in students for this.
Correct.
But you found that didn't have as much success with that as you liked, but you were able to make some great contacts in the chamber.
Right.
The other area has to do with the office supply discount program.
Yeah. Office Depot.
Those are the two things that I'm aware of. Are there, when you think about, you know, your interaction with the chamber and the value that may have brought, are there other areas that you might think are really powerful, good stories or things to think about?
I just like, for example, we had our golf tournament 2 weeks ago, and people from Data Tech have been out, which Data Tech I met at the chamber. Mm-hmm. You know, so there have been people who we've met at the chamber who participate in events that we have for fundraisers. You know, so definitely... it was about the awareness of the school, I think, because being brand new, of course, and then the resource with Office Depot, because we do a lot of copying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty substantial before we got the discount.
Mm-hmm.
I think even for us to, I think we've probably saved it in the thousands.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to printing, and printing is a big expense for schools, very substantial, when you put a budget together. So having now as resources just to send them a document and have it printed and, I mean, I may pay, say it's 150, I may pay only 50. It just depends. I think it's about 40 to 60% discount. So it's pretty substantial.
So depending on the items that you're buying.
Yeah, it just depends that day, you know, what we're going to purchase. So
so how did you find out about the Office Depot program?
Well, it's through the chamber, because the chamber had talked about it, you know. So, and I think from what I can get, a lot of people weren't taking advantage of it.
Right.
But it was something that I thought was really important for us to participate in. And when they mentioned it, I told my admin, I said, let's take a look at it, because that'll save us some costs on printing and copying. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we've used them for a lot of big projects that we have. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably depending on a month, depending on what we're doing. Like the golf tournament was really substantial. We had a lot of things we had to print. So I would probably say that we spent in excess of maybe $2,000 to $3,000 in printing.
Mm-hmm.
And probably would have maybe spent more. Now, there are some companies we outsource for certain things. But for the most part, we look at Office Depot, they saved us a substantial amount of money for printing for last month's golf tournament. And as we go into the fall, we'll start doing the recruiting process and we'll start making brochures and those type of things. So that'll be pretty substantial as well. And
so you have an opportunity to do more marketing because of the...
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Every business in the Charlotte metro area has a home chapter. What's the home chapter for you guys?
It would be this one right over here, Southwest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Southwest chapter.
So... But you said that you were going to meetings that were not just the Southwest chapter.
Exactly. I went to Northwest. Mm-hmm. I went to Downtown. I went to Ballantyne.
But you're not going to draw students from all those other areas of the city, are you?
No, but you know, you just never know because mm-hmm. we're a private school, mm-hmm. So which means that people can send their kids from all over the city if they choose to. And being the uniqueness of the school, being an all-boys school, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a different draw from bring your traditional school that is out there. So if there was a need for someone who maybe son was not excelling somewhere, I thought that maybe let's sit down and talk about, you know, what we could do for you. So for me, I think it was more really being able to get the word out there. And sometimes word of mouth is a lot better than, you know, you being on television. And so I think it's real powerful. So being able to talk with someone from the chamber, say, you know, I have a nephew I think may be willing to benefit from your school. That's what some people have even said to me about it. That would be a great opportunity for us. So for me, I saw it as, you know, opportunities to let more people know since we were a brand new school opening. Mm-hmm. So
you're getting plugged into the community as a transplant from out of state.
Sure.
And then you said, I'm going to start to go to a bunch of the different chapter meetings to try and get a feel for where things are and build some relationships.
Right.
Now, so that was kind of your initial blast.
Sure.
Yeah. What does your routine look like now from a meeting and participation perspective?
I think now probably I do. At one point I was doing probably almost two meetings a week.
Mm-hmm.
But as the school has grown, my schedule got a little more hectic. So I probably would do like this week, I'm doing the one this week. I probably do about four meetings a month now probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as the summer comes about, I'll probably do more. You know, so that's how the routine looks now. I think I have to really strategize my time and strategically make sure I'm utilizing my time the best mm-hmm. that I can.
Right.
And I think when we first started was to get the word out to everybody.
Sure.
But now I think that people are somewhat aware, or I would say are aware, of the Melody Academy in Charlotte. We even advertise in the map. What's it called? They have a map for people who are moving into the city.
Mm-hmm.
City map is called.
Okay.
And we advertise through the chamber, through the city map, you know, about the school. So there are a lot of different, I forgot to mention that, that we use a lot of different ways of advertising through them. So
when you go to a meeting,
mm-hmm.
what's a goal that you have for that meeting? What's going to happen in your mind?
Yeah.
You think something good could happen here. What does that look like?
Well, I think for me, really meeting somebody new that I haven't met, I think that's always important. Reconnected with those who I may not have seen in a while, but definitely trying to find somebody new and what they do. Because not even so much for our financial status for us, but you know, there may be a unique company out there that I want the young men to be exposed to. And I've asked people, hey, who are at the chamber, would you mind coming to speak at our school pertaining to what your company is? I think people are really fascinated about that. But I want our young men to know that there are facets of business out there. It's not just, you know, being a doctor, being a lawyer, being an athlete. There are a gamut of companies out there you may never have heard of. And so for me, it's really building that network for the young men, but also hopefully to build some lasting relationships that will last over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, that's, you know, my goal was to really meet somebody new, reconnect with those who I haven't seen in a while, and then really go from there. So.
Okay. Now, when you were getting plugged into the chamber and you were talking with Brenda about what does it look like, where do we go?
Sure.
Who in the chamber may have helped you or may have steered you to, here's a pathway or here's something you could do? Do you remember anybody that you worked with, or is anybody, any other members that helped you, or any other folks that you've interacted with?
I would say there's a variety of people. I have to kind of get their names out, but there's been many people who have said, Todd, here, we think maybe this company can help you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and I would say, you know, one thing I think I meant to mention, I go to the chambers also to find out what's going on in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in the Northwest Corridor, the development that's coming with the new school, the Renaissance School, and some of the things that were going, it gave me insight what was going on. I think also when I went to the Education Former Business Summit they had at UNC Charlotte about kind of where the business sector was, were looking at doing things in Charlotte, for example, expanding the light rail system. And, you know, so for me, it was really also to be informative. So I'm sorry to answer that question, but I just thought about that just now.
Sure.
I think that it's for me to know what's going on in Charlotte, which is really important, because then that allows me to strategize what I plan to do strategically with our school. You know, there's people who've said, Todd, what can we do to help? There's been the gentleman who had a company for video equipment, and he was saying, Todd, I have some video equipment that right now I can't get rid of. We're looking at selling it. Would you be interested in buying it? You know, we'll give you a discounted price for doing it. And we took a look at it. You know, so I think that there's been a gamut of people who really have been willing to help. Mm-hmm. And I think me coming there and being, and I said this before, I think I'm very sincere in what I do. I'm not looking just for you just to get some out of you. I think I'm looking to be really build a relationship to where, you know, where you can say, hey, Todd, you know, we have this, or, you know, Todd, you know, do you think you can utilize our services like this way? Or so I think that when I go to the chamber means I'm looking to be very sincere about it. I'm not looking just to get a sale, mm-hmm. and that's it. And I said that at the one of the presentation meetings when I talked in front of the group that, you know, if you're coming here just to get a sale, then it's not going to be very effective for you. I think you want to be able to build a relationship so that you have a lasting time, a relationship with those people to be able to build, hopefully, capacity in your business. It's a kind of form or fashion. So
you're looking to learn about what's going on with the people that you meet.
Yeah, exactly. That's important to me. I think that because I think that, you know, I've always done business very well with people a lot of times. And I think that I found that the reason why I've done very well is because my relationship with people. You never know when you're going to come back around with that person again in some kind of capacity. And I always am a strong believer that people, when people talk about you when you're not there, that really says a lot in a positive light.
Right.
Not a negative light, no, but a positive light. So if someone is saying something very positive, but hey, you know, I met this Todd Pipkin, and you may want to take a look what this guy is doing, I think that's really, to me, more powerful than me being there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm a strong believer in your reputation is all you have. You know, and you never know where you're going to cross a path with another person who you may say, hey, you know, I ran with Todd, and he's a great guy. He has a school that he's doing. I think you may be able to benefit or help him. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really is about building strong relationships. I really can't stress that more than anything else. So
yeah, so you're using the meetings as an opportunity to look for new relationships to establish and to strengthen existing relationships.
Yeah, exactly. And so that it can go, it won't be this one time I saw you and that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that you really want to, because I'm sure I haven't been to a meeting in a while. I'm sure somebody may ask, hey, we haven't seen in a while, Todd, where have you been?
Right.
You know, so I think that I want to be able to really have those lasting relationships that go well beyond, you know, 1 year, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you do business.
Now, for some of those folks that you meet at the meetings, do you have any sort of contact with them outside of chamber events?
It just depends on what type of business they're in or they're doing. And I always get a person's card. You know, and then I always kind of really follow with the email saying, hey, it's great to meet you. Mm-hmm. Want to do lunch? You know, so there are many people that I have reconnected with by doing lunch with.
Okay, so you're in your process, though, and I heard you say two things you mm-hmm. do. One is make sure you get contact information for the people you interact with, and the other is you're taking action to follow up.
Yes, correct. That's important. Because I think that, and I think that a lot of times the chamber meetings, you can't really talk, I think, as I think it's very informal, and you may want to sit down and talk, move the conversation to the next level, being a little more formal, you know, or informal. Maybe it's eating lunch somewhere, you know, if it's TGI Fridays, wherever it may be, but, you know, kind of get to know that person, you know, how can I help you? Because I'm a strong believer that there has to be a collaboration. I believe that the company must benefit as well as the school. And I don't ever want to go into a conversation that says, okay, what can I just get out of you? Mm-hmm. I think schools make a big mistake of that, nationwide. You know, I think we don't ever say, well, how can we help the company when a company is out to make profit? I mean, that's the mm-hmm. bottom line.
Sure.
So I think that I always try to make sure there's a collaboration between both parties, that they benefit and we benefit. And that's, you know, that's one way I look at it when I go to sit down and have lunch with somebody after we've met somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I always do that.
So you think about how some of those relationships that you've built and mm-hmm. some of the opportunities that you've found where there's a good working relationship mm-hmm. between you and the other organization. How do you know it's working? How do you know things are going well?
I think that, you know, I always believe that if I can pick up a phone call, say we need, like, we had a young man that needed help. Maybe he needs a scholarship. Maybe we need scholarship money for a young man. I think that being able to pick up a phone and call somebody, or you want to participate in our golf tournament without being hesitant, that's how I know it's working. I think that's how I know we've developed a relationship. If it's by, like with iTech and doing our signs for us and asking Emily, can you donate all your pens and notepads for our packages for our golfers? No problem, Todd. You know, I think that being able to make those phone calls without being hesitant knows it's working. I think if you're hesitant, then you know, well, I still need to build upon that relationship a little bit. But I think for the most part, being able to really make those contacts and really just pick up the phone and call mm-hmm. and say, I need help with this. And can you help us? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that really shows that you've established a relationship where people can trust you and you can trust them.
Sure.
So I think that's important.
So your role here is what?
It's the head of school. Okay. So I'm responsible for really the development and the operation of the school. Mm-hmm. So when we first opened, we were K-3. We're going to K-5 this year. So we've added a grade each year. And then we'll take a look at expanding possibly to middle school. So my job is really to develop those relationships that allow us to expand the school in every aspect of it, financially, the student base, the marketing aspect of it, really hiring, I mean, human resources. So really every aspect
of it.
Yeah, I do. So it's more than just your traditional principal, per se. I mean, definitely I'm responsible for the academic piece of it, but really my main goal is to expand the school.
And how many students do you serve today?
Today we have 20 students right now. We opened up last year with 7. So we're hoping this year we'll have probably 35 students this year coming up in the fall. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep going. And we want to be small. That's one of the key things. We want to keep our classrooms about 10 students per classroom, which is really unique. Most schools do about 21, if not more. But being all boys, we want to really create an environment that allows them to function, an environment that helps them to be successful. So.
How did you get started in education?
Well, wow, it's been a long time. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, where I was taught at the Pittsburgh Public Schools, and then moved to Phoenix and was an assistant principal in Phoenix in a large comprehensive high school, and then got opportunity to come to Charlemagne to work as a principal in Olympic. We were part of the transformation team that broke Olympic down into the 5 small schools. So that was a unique opportunity because it was something I had never done before. And then had opportunity to work for Edison Learning, where I traveled all over the country with schools that were failing. And I went into working with the superintendents, school boards, state representatives, or liaisons, as they called them, to help transform schools around. But extensive travel. I traveled really a lot with that job and decided it was time to do something different. I could be at home with my kids and my family. And this really came about because I was volunteering. I wasn't even looking to do this. And I was volunteering to help the school get up and running.
I'm curious, as you were interacting with these schools that were struggling,
yeah,
what were some themes that you saw in, you know, challenges with those schools? What were some common factors in failure?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked me that question because a lot of things that I saw that didn't work there, I didn't implement here. And when Bishop Davis and I had a discussion, there were certain things I wanted to have in place to make sure the school would be successful. So one of the things we looked at was year-round schooling. I felt, after looking at a lot of the schools, the kids would get out in May, maybe June, and I come back to August. And then what you found out in those schools, when those students, say if they were a fourth grader, and they came back in the fall, they had forgot all that they had learned primarily in that second semester. So the teacher then spent fourth grade reteaching that student all over again who had entered into the fall. So it was fourth or third grade.
Right.
I said one of the things I want to do was a year-round school because we're only off for a month, really 4.5 weeks in the summer. That's it. And then we come back to school August 29th. We get out July 18th. So that was one of the things I looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Small classrooms. Mm-hmm. Because I saw that schools that had, even though you may have had 21 kids, there were 21 different learning styles in that class. So how do you as a teacher really address 21 different learning styles? That's a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so one of the things I wanted to make sure that we had small classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Mentors, all the students have mentors here.
Hmm.
We have a program called YBM, Young Black Male Alliance, and they are the top seniors in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools.
Hmm.
And so YBM helps mentor our students. Everybody has a mentor because I always tease, you know, the kids, you know, they see me as being old. So they can relate
to somebody. Of course, you're old.
That's yeah, right. I'm old. So if they can relate to somebody that's a lot younger, that helps us to really reach our goal of making sure they're successful.
So these are high school students?
These are high school students.
That are mentors for these K-3
yes.
students.
Yes, so our kids, a lot of these young men, matter of fact, they're some of the top young men in Charlotte. So they're going to schools such as MIT, North Carolina, NC State, Penn, Florida State. They're going to a lot of different schools, so they help us out in a lot of ways with that. So those are just some of the things I looked at. We're not required by law to assess, but I do. I use the Iowa assessment test because I feel that if parents are paying for something, we need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. For what we're doing. You know, so that was something else that I looked at when I went across the country and saw schools. And some schools weren't assessing the way they should be. They had 35 kids in a classroom. They get out in July or June. I mean, there's a lot of different mm-hmm. variables. And, you know, people just didn't care. That was something else as well I found. You know, so when we did the interview process last year for one position, we interviewed over 50 people. You know, just to make sure that we got the right person in place. I wasn't going to just take anybody. You know, so
you had to find teachers who are passionate.
Passionate and really understand the concept of teaching boys. You know, and really have to think outside the box. Yeah, because I don't want you just coming here and saying, you know, I just can do anything. I want you to do something different. What are you going to add value to? How we can make this stronger? Because I always tell the teachers, those teachers who are coming in, from K-5, they're really going to build the foundation for as we move forward to middle and high school. You know, those teachers will be the foundation of other teachers coming in. You know, so it's really critical that you really wear multiple hats. Like we do our strategic plan on Thursday, and they'll be part of that process.
Hmm.
The teachers do their own staff development here, so you know, called professional learning community. So they really do the PD. It's not me teaching them. It's really them researching what they have to teach to their other staff members and coming prepared to do it.
Hmm.
And that really builds capacity within your staff. You know, so those are some of the things.
Yeah, that's great. So, what do you do when you're not at work?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I'm an avid bike rider. I like to ride bikes.
Yeah, what kind of bikes?
I mean, I can ride really any type of bike. So I'm not one of those persons who would buy a $2,000 bike. I'm just going to hop on my bike and ride.
Okay.
I think that's just for me. I've just been able to relax. I love to read. I'm an avid reader. Like right now I'm reading a book called Promises Kept. And it's on two African-American boys who were in New York City, who went through private schools. One young man had a great experience. The other young man had a very terrible experience. And they talk about, you know, how the experience of an African-American male in society is today and how we helped them become better students and better men. You know, so I'm an avid reader, really trying to make sure I master my craft. That's really critical. And of course, my kids and my family are really important to me. And if it's from going to the park and throwing football, or if it's going downtown to see the baseball game, or mm-hmm. I mean, I really like to spend time with my family as well.
So. That's great. What's something that is surprising about your experience here, or about the operation of the school? What's something that people would not, you know, not expect? I mean, for example, I was working on building a house, learning about septic systems.
Sure.
Only there are 10,000 kinds of dirt in North Carolina.
I did not know
10,000 kinds of dirt? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But there are, apparently. So some variant of clay, right? But
yeah, yes.
But so what's something that is, you know, as you've kind of dug into this area and you've thought about education or about children or about boys specifically, what's something that would surprise people?
I think that the statistical data on the performance of boys, mm-hmm. Which is pretty scary. Last year, the proficiency test that they take every year in North Carolina, we only scored as a state proficiently 44% on our test, which is very alarming. And then you break it down to subgroups from just even African-American male, I mean, only scored 20%.
So 80% of African-American males' assessment is below...
Below
the standard.
Below the standard.
So is that below grade level?
It is.
So you're telling me 80%...
Yes.
...of African-American males...
Who took the test in the fall, only 20% scored above what they should score nationally.
That proficient or above proficiency?
That's proficient. So okay. Only 20% were proficient. So yes, 80% were not.
That's tragic.
Right. And I think what was even scarier, the suspension rates of African-American males last year in CMS, and I'm not blaming CMS, it's a national problem. It really mm-hmm. is. And you had 130,000 students in CMS last year, roughly. And I think out of 130,000, 30,000 were suspended, 20,000 were African-American males. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to ask yourself this question, is that if they're not in school, then how can they perform? So, you know, the question that has to be asked, I think really just nationwide, is that there's a problem that we have with African-American males not succeeding. Why is that? What is it? And it's not
That's a challenging question to ask in our culture.
It is. And and I think that you can't blame one sector, but we have to take a look together as a group and say, how do, you know, as a group of people, how do we really take a look at helping really all students succeed? Because, you know, I mean, I worry about our future. And being in this business, you look at some of the data, even for our high performing students, don't compare to students who are worldwide. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really scary. We look at reading and math scores. I think we're like 16th or 17th behind other nations. You know, so I think for me, doing this business now, you really, really see that the data is something I really have to dig into, and it's very alarming. Mm-hmm. And not just boys of color, but I think boys in general. You know, boys are having a more difficult time than your female students are. And how do we really address that? So for me, it has been the challenging data for educating boys. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we do, you know, doesn't work. We have to find other ways to go about doing things.
So what are you doing that's different here? You said all year-round schooling is one.
Yeah, year-round schooling.
Small classrooms.
Of course, single gender. Because in North Carolina, you can't do a single gender charter or public school because it's against the law. So
really?
Yes. Yeah, so you can only do... So we're
they concerned about Title IX compliance?
I believe so, yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So now South Carolina, you can. But North Carolina, you cannot. But I think that will probably change pretty soon because of the data that came out on the boys. I think that, you know, there's this surge about how do we go about helping young men to succeed. Like, I'm from an all-boys school. I'm from Pittsburgh. You know, I went to Central Catholic, which is all-boys high school. And, I mean, majority of us have done exceptionally well. I mean, that environment was so much different, you know, than it was having girls in your building, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but for us, definitely year-round, the testing is one assessment, the mentor is one thing, the extended day. So our kids, our day ends at 3, but we have a company called Tiny Tech, which does our STEM program. Mm. So Tiny Tech comes from 3 to 6 because parents have to work. You know, so, I mean, that's something we looked at. I mean, when we started the school, we can't stop the day at 3 and then expect parents to come pick their kids up. Then what if they are working? So we really looked at how do we help parents as well? So that really helps many of our parents who get off at 5. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an extra cost, but they know their kids are here and they're getting a quality program. I did not want an after-school program where kids sat and just read. I didn't want that. I wanted them to be actively involved. So Tiny Tech is a really great program that we have. I'm trying to think what else. We follow the Common Core curriculum.
Hmm.
That's pretty unique, I think. People complain about it, but mm-hmm. you know, the Common Core, there are some, you know, some things they have to work on, but I think the Common Core is really good teaching when you really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make that teacher or that person really have to take a look at putting those worksheets away and do a little more challenging work. And helping and pushing those kids to different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Common Core is really good. you know, it's had its issues and you're back and forth about it. But as an educator, you know, I think it was something that was needed and is needed to push our kids.
So have you had an opportunity to look at your assessments and compared to the other educational opportunities?
And what we did, what we do, our kids take the test in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So a kindergartner will come in, and this is something very unusual. You know, CMS and most public schools don't test the third grade. Well, I'm testing you at kindergarten. Now, I'm testing to see where you stand, because maybe you come as a kindergartner, maybe you can read on a first grade level. Right. I don't know that.
Right.
I can't assume that you're reading on a kindergarten level.
Right.
So that allows us then to determine, that allows us to differentiate our instruction in the classroom. So the teacher will know, hey, this kid can read at a first grade level, so I'm going to give him first grade work. I'm not going to give him kindergarten work.
Sure.
Because that then, if you give the kid kindergarten work and he can read on a first grade level, he's going to be a disruptor in the classroom. So that test is given at the beginning of the year, and then at the end of the year, we retest them again, kindergarten test. I want to see, did that kid go from, let's say, 20% to 60%, or did they go from 20% to 10%? And that right there allows me to talk to that teacher and say, what happened? Mm-hmm. What did we not do successful? So I'm holding everybody accountable, and that allows us to really make sure that our kids are being held accountable for, and our parents and the school. So we do the assessment. And last year, which was very unique, our kindergartners scored in the first grade level, our first graders scored in the second grade level, our second grade scored in the third grade, but our third graders stayed level. They did not increase. Which, you know, we looked at, and a lot of those kids we got from other schools, so many of their areas probably were not proficient, if it was reading or math. And I think I tell people too, 70% of my parents are single parents. So my kids are not coming from affluent backgrounds. They're coming from middle class to urban students. Our parents are working double time to make sure their kids can be successful. So
you've got the teachers in the classroom who are focused on the kids' achievement.
Sure.
You've got the students. How are you engaging the students differently? What is it? What part does a student play in their achievement here?
Well, you know, one of the things that we do is student-led conferences. So when we have four student-led conferences a year, and what that is that when
wait a minute, your top grade is third grade.
Yeah.
And you have student-led conferences.
Yes. Yeah.
Third graders.
Yes. Because you
8-year olds.
Yes.
You can have 7-year olds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does that work?
Because the kids have three questions they take a look at. So one question is, what am I doing well? What area can I improve in? And what do I need to do to keep improving? And so the teacher will monitor that. Parents come in, kid pulls out their portfolio and says, okay, mom, dad, whoever it may be, here's what I'm doing well in. I'm doing well in numbers. I'm doing well in alphabet, whatever it may be. And then you have, here's what I'm not doing well in. And now the teacher is just a monitor. They're not explaining it. And it really engages. Number one, it allows parents to not give me an excuse, because they want to hear what their kids have to say. That's really important. And the kids are excited to tell their parents. So it really creates an environment to where kids are excited to say, I want to express to my parents, here's what I'm doing well, but here's what I can work on. And I think it allows the school to be removed from saying, here's what the school's not doing, compared to saying, you know what, here's what, mom, I need to do better. And I think that was something that we learned really helped. To really create that dialogue between parent and teacher. Because we have a system called RENWEB. RENWEB is our student management system. So we're able to really connect with parents about what's going on, from their grades to their attendance, those type of things. But those student-led conferences were very powerful.
So you've got the teachers and you got the students. And what role do the parents play in this process?
Yeah. Well, the PTO is very active. Parents are required to do 32 hours a week, 32 hours a semester of volunteer.
Wow.
And if they don't, I'm going to call you to the carpet on it. And I'm going to say, this may not be the place for you.
Wow. Because, so 32 hours, that's a bunch of time.
Yes. So that's what we're talking about, the NASCAR, when I came in. Because, you know, that NASCAR program last year, we got funding from Speedway Charities to do our Mandarin program. We have Mandarin here.
Interesting.
So they helped us to be able to fund. We have a company called Simply Language that comes in and does our managers for our third to fourth graders. So, but, and that, as I explained to parents, that volunteer opportunity helps us to be able to do other things. Mm-hmm. Our golf tournament, parents all volunteered for that. Now, some parents work, but maybe instead of volunteering, they donated things to the silent auction. I mean, I understand that. I just want you to be involved. Mm-hmm. And so the PTA meets every third Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. Right? So they're meeting this Thursday.
And do the parents have a set of responsibilities about educational achievement for their kids?
Yeah, I think that they do. I think the expectation is that this is what I expect your child to be at a certain time frame. Because in the beginning, we go over the Iowa assessment test, and we say, here's, you know, if your kid's at 40%, I'd like to see them be about 40 to really 50 to 60 points percentage higher than what they were before. Mm-hmm. So really, the goal is 80%. In all honesty, I want every kid to be 80%. Now, that's, for some, that might be unrealistic, but for others, I think we can achieve it.
I don't know. My nephew has Down syndrome.
Yes.
And he was mainstreamed, and he graduated in the top half of his class.
Yeah.
So, that's, I mean,
an expectation.
His parents set an expectation for him that he was going to be able to achieve to the best of his ability. Not that he was going to be the top of the class necessarily, but maximizing the skills that he had, and he worked his butt off.
Yeah, and that is really the battle in education. When that kid comes through your door, what is your expectation as an educator? I don't care if you're a man, I don't care if you're a female, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're purple, I don't care, whatever it may be. What is your expectation of those students? And students, I always tell teachers this, they come on the first day to see if you can teach. That's what kids come to see. That first day is your interview for those students. And if you fail the interview, your year is going to be hell for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, you know, you really want your first day, as I tell every teacher, that this is your only time to get it right. Mm. And after that, either you get it right or you don't.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is. So, you know, so you have to come with your A game on that first day. But it is the expectation. And kids will know if you have an expectation or not. They really do. Mm-hmm. I've done it for a while. And I've done it in different places, suburbs. You know, I've done it in rural. I've done it in many places. And, you know, every kid really wants to learn. Nobody wants to fail. I don't care who they are. Mm-hmm. Every child, every person wants to be successful. How you help them get there is a whole different issue. And if they believe that you believe they can, then that's another discussion.
Yeah, so as we think about next steps for Male Leadership Academy and interacting with Chamber, what do you think is working and what do you think you want to do more of?
I think definitely the networking is key at the events that we go to. I would love to see the Chamber participate more in a maybe possibly financial role, possibly, with, if it was scholarships for young men who want to attend. I think that would be one of the biggest things we take a look at doing. And I know that you can't, and again, I don't know. I take that back. I think that's how I'd like to see the Chamber help out more, if we could, on the scholarships for students, or if there was a company that was interested in maybe sponsoring a young man. Because I know there are a lot of young people who would love, or parents love, to have their kids go here, but maybe can't afford for them to go. And our tuition is not very high. Our tuition is only $7,700 compared to many of the independent schools, who's about $24,000, $25,000. So it can be a lot for a parent, you know, particularly a single parent who's trying to do it. So I think that would be probably one of the biggest things I would ask. If we could find companies who would be willing to say, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind sponsoring a young man. You know, as long as they can create the criteria. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to be here the number of days. And many, our kids rarely miss school. Mm-hmm. I mean, our parents, our kids are really actively involved. And the parents are, I don't know the exact percentage, but I think we're close to almost 90% of our kids attending school on a regular basis, not even higher.
Interesting.
Because I think that they really enjoy coming to school. Plus, I forgot uniforms. They have uniforms. So they have the uniforms they have to wear, and they have to. And of course, we have their jackets on Friday because of chapel. They have chapel on Fridays because we're a faith-based school. So, But, yeah, so that would be some things the chamber could help out with.
Well, that's great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation.
Yeah, sounds good. You have your you have a card on you? Sure. You have a card for me. If you want mine. I appreciate you taking the time.
That's really good stuff. Great opportunity to get to learn more about kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, one
yeah.
thing that comes to my mind, Todd, is if you could begin to capture some of the stories that you just told me.
Sure.
With some, I'm thinking a Facebook group.
Sure.
You know, put some photographs of some of these young men.
Yeah.
Interacting with some of those young men.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
Photographs of the NASCAR event volunteers.
Sure. Yeah.
Stories about a boy who came in at second grade level and came up to third grade level or fourth grade level.
Yes.
You know, those kinds of things are really compelling.
Sure. Okay, I definitely agree.
They're really compelling. And you're doing the work already.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of principle for this series that we're doing, is the chamber's already doing good work.
Sure.
How do we begin to capture that and then put it out there so people go, oh, I didn't even know I could do that.
Maybe we can do that. Matter of fact, I'll talk to Andrea. She's our technology person. Does Facebook and our website. Matt, we met yesterday because there are some things I want to improve on our website. We're looking to redo our website. So definitely, I think we can get those things captured without a problem.
Yeah, so. I think too. I mean, it's and of course, you've got a full-time job, right? So trying to figure out how to add in other stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, it seems to me even just kind of the things that about your philosophy of education and the model that you know, year-round schooling and the STEM program that you're doing, the Mandarin stuff, that's really interesting. I think people would find that surprising.
Yes, yeah, you know? We can get it out there, Tom. I think I appreciate that. And again, I'm doing it because I care.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be really honest. I'm not looking for, I know that, you know, you definitely want people to recognize you, but I want to see how can I change young boys' lives, and really any young boy. You know, even though we're 100% African-American, how can we help males, really young men? You know, and I think this weekend I was at a graduation for one of my students from Olympic, and it was just good to see Tiffany and see that she had moved on from where she was to where she is now. And I see many of the kids many times who I stayed on, and then now to see them doing something productive, that's always, to me, very blessing. It's really good to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you don't really see it many times until maybe you may never see them.
Right.
You never know, you know, so it's always good. So for me, I really enjoy just being able to help young people be successful, you know, so for, but I believe, Tom, there's some good things, you're right, we need to take a look at doing and get our information out there. So
well, the great news is that doesn't cost very much money.
Okay, yeah.
Right, because you can, it's a matter of making the time to put it together and do it.
Totally agree, so.
Cool.
I appreciate the time, really, appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great.